Now to a little noticed debate at the United Nations this week. Delegates are debating whether the internet should be brought under the control of the world's governments. NPR's Tom Jelton reports.
For something so powerful, so worldwide in its reach, it's noteworthy that the internet is still largely an unregulated space. The question is, can it stay this way? Judging by a debate organized this week by the UN Economic and Social Council, many countries think it's time for a process to strengthen international oversight of the internet. Tang Zicai spoke for the government of China.
This process cannot be accomplished without the meaningful participation of the governments.
That phrase, participation of governments, was heard over and over. Some countries apparently find it inconceivable that something as important as the internet should be outside government control. Others take a more conspiratorial view. The delegate from Iran, Mohammad Ahsani Najad, suggested that rich countries are trying to manage the internet in such a way as to dominate poor countries.
Developed countries are either monopolizing policymaking on such issues or entering into exclusive treaties among themselves, while further marginalizing other countries, mainly developing ones.
Between those governments who simply favor more control over the internet and those who want to see the internet run more for the benefit of less powerful countries, there is one broadly popular solution: get the United Nations involved. Among the countries in favor are Brazil, India, Saudi Arabia, and other emerging powers. Opposed are civil society groups who fear the loss of internet freedom. They're largely backed by the United States and its allies. Philip Verveer coordinates international communications and information policy at the State Department.
The worst-case scenario would be the imposition of UN types of governance over the internet, which would inevitably bring with it a tremendous slowness in terms of reaching critical decisions.
Decisions over the evolving architecture of the internet, for example, or the commercial rules that apply to internet transactions. Plus, Verveer says some governments may want to see new international rules that would limit the political impact of the internet.
They don't like the idea of the free flow of information, and intergovernmental controls would be a way of controlling the content that passes over the internet by requiring, by treaty, if you will, for other administrations to cooperate in terms of suppressing speech that they didn't like.
Here's one example. Mauritania, in its contribution to the UN debate this week, suggested that governments should agree to block, in their own countries, any internet content that some other country objects to. Such a position may reflect some naivete. The WikiLeaks episode shows how hard it can be to keep content off the internet. Upset as it was by the disclosure of state secrets, the U.S. government had no real way to stop users from finding the WikiLeaks material. Indeed, more broadly, the UN debate over the future of the internet shows that governments are still figuring out which internet policies make sense and which don't. Gregory Francis is managing director of Access Partnership, a London-based lobbying firm that follows global internet regulation issues.
We're getting an opportunity for governments to ask dumb questions. And, if Mauritania asks Russia or France, is this possible? And the governments of those countries reply, no, it ain't. They'll probably pipe down and go away.
Perhaps, but the debate over the internet's future promises only to grow. Diplomats are already preparing for a World Conference on International Telecommunications due to be held in 2012 in Malaysia. Tom Jelton, NPR News, Washington.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.